This is your gift for the week, and I'll be talking about this as I do the message this morning. And we talked about beginning the journey and processing and making the most of life every step of the way, whatever it is we're in the midst of. This week, as Holy Week, is a week where we got to see a spiritual master give us a living example of what it looks like to live and move through and be present in the midst of life with all of its ups and downs. Think about the scope of the different events that take place in the course of just the next week. They're a living example for us of how we can live in faith, how we can find peace in the midst of conflict. And it takes place in Jerusalem. As I shared in the prayer, that means place of peace, habitation of peace. And it takes place around the time of Passover. The original one was during Passover. And Passover is the ancient Jewish tradition where they remembered how the angel of death passed over the houses that were marked on the lentils with the lamb's blood back in Egypt so they could leave and then go find the Holy Land. And so it was passing over, and it was the key to liberation. It was being held in bondage, being passed over, releasing them so they could then go on the journey that ultimately brought them to the Promised Land. But it took a long time. Long time. It's a very small geographic area, so they had to walk in circles a lot to not have gotten there way sooner. Have you done that in your life? I know I have. I know where the Promised Land is, but I take a rather interesting path sometimes to get there. And so this time of Passover was a high holy time out of the tradition of which Jesus emerged. And it was really interesting. I don't think I've ever felt closer to the man Jesus than when I was blessed to go to a bar mitzvah. And I was sitting there and just feeling the presence of the divine. And then they opened the panels and brought forth the scrolls and walked through the synagogue with them. And in that moment, I got Jesus in a whole new way that I had never gotten in a Christian church, which was the context in which he emerged. When I was a kid, I went to a Baptist church for Sunday school with a dear friend, and the woman who was the Sunday school teacher was doing the Sunday lesson, and it had to have been Palm Sunday, because she said, I've got to tell you, this coming week, she said, the Jews killed Jesus. And I was about 13, maybe, and I remember raising my hand, and she's like, what? And I said, wasn't Jesus Jewish? No, he was Southern Baptist, because John the Baptist baptized him in the Jordan River. Who knew? And so it was like getting this whole part of Christianity that I had never gotten before. The beauty of the Jewish tradition, the awareness that God was with them. They call themselves the chosen people, forgetting that when Moses is given a blessing and Abraham is given blessings, it's not just for them, it's for through them for the world, which is what Jesus then does. He takes this message and he doesn't destroy it, he uplifts it to the next level of unfolding. And so during the course of this week, he comes in, and of course he is welcomed. They place the palms down so he doesn't have to move across the dusty road They're symbols of honoring. So they do that, and then where is he by the end of the week? He's been through multiple trials. He's gone through all kinds of physical challenges, even unto death and beyond. All of this place takes place in the course of this week. And the thing that I love the most about it is he was willing to move through it, not avoid it. It's about being willing to go through what life brings you so you can draw the soul lessons from it, you can learn deeper compassion for other people. Some of my greatest challenges, I've learned deeper compassion than ever before that I couldn't have learned, I don't think, any other way. And he reminds us all the way through it, don't get caught up in the outer appearance of things. See it as a soul journey. See it as, we say in unity, we're having an earthly experience for a divine reason. That there is something greater at work than just the outer appearance. He gathers his friends. He spends time with that inner circle in the upper room. The upper room means they gathered in a place of higher consciousness together. And that was where he does the foot washing tradition that he received through Mary Magdalene as part of a tradition of the time. She did that for him, and he was so touched by the unconditional love and tenderness that he then gives that to the people in the upper room, men and women, by the way. And then he does the first communion service as part of that upper room experience, going, I know you're going to forget the me and the message because there's all kinds of drama coming up. So I'm going to give you two symbols to remind you that I'm always with you. Bread and wine. What's significant about those? The bread represents our physical self, the wine, the spirit that fills us with life. And the thing that I love the most is they were elements that everyone would have had, however wealthy or however poor. Everybody had bread and wine. He used universal symbols of nature and of growth to remind them that they are part of a greater circle. And he then goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and spends time all alone in prayer and meditation. So he's gone from the center of all these people who love him to quietness in the garden all alone, reminding us that we need support, but we also need time in the garden alone. And so in the garden at night, he prays and he meditates and he processes and he challenges. I've always loved, if this can be passed from me, please let it be passed. Haven't we all said that one? But he knew that it wasn't about avoiding, it was about moving through, knowing the presence of God is with you in everything. And so that's when he's able to say, okay, not my will, but thine. And how does he do it? In the garden, in nature, alone, praying, meditating, and then he falls to his knees on Mother Earth. Feels the presence of life there to support him in whatever is going to happen that's on the path before him that he knows is part of this divine drama. And so all of these things, he has someone that by tradition betrays him, Judas. But I always had this tender spot in my heart for him. I thought, oh, can you imagine how painful? Because he was part of the inner circle. He was one of the believers in the deepest message. And it hasn't been until the last decade that they found the Gospel of Judas, where there were people who followed his path as someone of incredible courage and faith who was willing to set the divine drama into motion. In the scriptures that we had, Jesus includes him in the foot washing and the communion. And only after those, he goes to him and says, go and do what you need to do. And he does. And so the whole story is filled with that presence touching different people in different ways. And yet, that living example for us as to how to move through our soul journeys authentically, having the emotions that come up, encountering whatever comes with our lives, but doing so with a belief in something higher and deeper that gives meaning to everything. And we do this by realizing that we do it ourselves on our own soul journey, but we don't do it alone. The presence of the divine is ever with us. Whether we're in the upper room or the Garden of Gethsemane or in the tomb awaiting the rolling away of the stone after 3 days so we can step back out into another garden. This week, I invite you to do that journey together. Each one of us, we won't be doing any special services here. This is your personal opportunity to have this Holy Week become a portal for you to really embrace your life so that next Sunday when we gather, you can truly sing about how you've grown, you've shifted, you've expanded your awareness and settled more deeply into life than ever before. Alice Howell is my fairy godmother. She is a Jungian writer and astrologer who was the one that introduced me to Iona. I was blessed to meet her in person with my mom up in outer New York State many years ago. And in The Dove and the Stone, she says this, "There is a path of love and knowledge to which the West is heir. Once on this path, the pilgrim is never alone, but in a visionary company of the friends of God." Isn't that wonderful? A visionary company of the friends of God. This community of saints, encountered by a simple gesture of consciousness, lies outside of time and place, in the soul's sacred and magical realm, that of the imagination. So allow yourself this week to imagine what each of these days were in the living example of the Master Way Shower Jesus, and how is it showing up for you right now where you are on the journey of your life. Each day has a focus for you to work with, and so I knew you wouldn't remember them if I just said all of them. I wouldn't remember them without the list. And so today is about settling into peace, be still and know. This day is about the peace consciousness, that if you can settle into that, whatever comes, you can handle with greater equanimity, even if it's a challenge. Holy Monday is the passing over of the old, the release of it so that you can embrace new life. So on Monday, focus on being present right where you are, not somewhere else, not back in the past or off in the future. Practice being present so that you can move into the heart of your life, knowing that faith and hope always abide. Holy Tuesday is the process of denials and affirmations. It's choosing what you do not want to have power over you anymore, what you're ready to release so you can create that space for something new to be born in. It's what we do every year at our First, a Sunday service in January when we do our Burning Bowl and Vision Quest. Releasing so that you can create the space to welcome in something new. So you're choosing the energies that you're incorporating and you're going to be working with, but I invite you as you do it to see the divine everywhere, in that which you release as well as that which you embrace. Holy Wednesday is about co-creating your life and aligning with divine will. And this is where you can include in your prayers something I always do, which is I always, when I'm done with my prayers, say, I trust highest and best and right and perfect time. I'm trusting a spiritual wisdom greater than my outer consciousness of wisdom. Maundy Thursday is the day of communion, and it's the time to be with friends. So on Thursday, even if you can't get together in person with friends, call them. Connect with them. Have an exchange of love and caring, because that's what true communion is. The greatest power is love. God is love. The greatest commandment is that you love. The truest communion is that of love. So receive and offer support, embodied presence. On Good Friday, it's a day of surrender, and using the wonderful words of Jesus, into thy hands I commend my spirit. A leap of absolute trust and faith, seeing beyond the outer appearance and trusting the eternality of soul and spirit. Sacred Saturday is the transformation at depth. It's part of that 3 days in the tomb. And I'll be talking about that a little next week. You go in and you rest, and then you open to possibilities, and then you decide what it is you're going to welcome to embody when you step back out into the world again. And then finally, next Sunday, when we're gathered once again, is the arising of divine light, being restored, renewed, and rededicated right where we are on the path of life. Because that's what it's all about. What happened over 2,000 years ago, as miraculous as it was meant not to be a one-time event. It was meant to be a template so that we can all be the living, loving light of the presence of the divine here and now. The second coming was not Jesus coming down on a cloud. It was the coming of the Christ light in each and every one of us. My first Unity minister was Reverend Donald Curtis and his wife Dorothy. I shared the picture last week that she had gifted me with. In his book, The Way of the Christ, Donald Curtis says this: let this inspire you as you enjoy the process of Holy Week in a deeper way than you perhaps ever have before. We are all disciples, whether we know it or not. The spiritual path eternally beckons to us. Those who follow the upward path make a conscious decision to follow the Christ light, to aspire to truth, to embody the good, and to express divine ideas, what the Master called the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. Oh, sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of the divine, in you we live, we move, we have our being. Let us open to more consciously walk this path of spirit, moving into and through life, just like our Master Way Shower showed us how to do, and how all the spiritual masters have also lived and embodied. Oh, let us remember to walk the way, to welcome the truth, and to incarnate and be the life, Let us aspire to truth, to embody the good, and to express the divine this week and always. Oh, we give thanks for that presence of the divine in all of its forms, ever abiding with us, near and dear and close at heart. We go forth this week on a journey of soul that will take us into new depths and breadths of what it means to be embodied spiritual beings. And we do this willingly, with faith, with grace, and with love. And so it is. Om Amen, and blessed be.